For me growing up, I don't know whether to call it a tool, a resource, an alien. You know, it was a physical presence that was a part of your clique, your crew. That was the radio.
You know, you were just stuck to your radio dial with two fingers on buttons. Pause, record.
You're flipping through the dial, and it wasn't no digital tuning. It was straight. Fine-tune it, because you might have overshot your situation. You're like, oh, that's static. All right, we good. Hold on.
You know, you could go to school and talk about, did you hear this new song this weekend? Or did you hear what Red Alert did? Or did you hear what Chuck Chill Out did? You know, you bonded with other people who also kind of were drawn to the music.
My name is Eric from Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM.
Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And today we will hear about a new audit by the New York State Comptroller that many air polluting facilities across New York are not being properly monitored. Surprise, surprise, they're often in poor communities. We hear that story from our friends at WOOC in Troy. Plus, Philip Grant has the local news headlines. Catskill Maker Syndicate bring you the better weather, and we've got national headlines from the Public News Service. All on the WGXC Morning Show, which starts after the local news, next on WGXC.
In airwaves controlled. Blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to WGXC.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more. Plus, advance notice of close-up series conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Saugerties, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org. That's upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Anna Koval of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Wednesday, September 27th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Allison Durge reports in Forbes that Judge Arthur Engoron ruled on September 26th that former President Donald Trump and his company committed fraud in New York by overstating the value of their assets. The ruling from the judge came in the lawsuit Attorney General Letitia James brought against the former president, which starts October 2nd. James' office had argued Engoron should rule on this issue now because, quote, no trial is required, unquote, to find Trump liable. The judge ruled that the documents uncovered in the case, quote, clearly contain fraudulent valuations that defendants used in business, unquote. Engoron did not believe Trump's lawyer's arguments, such as that measuring square footage is a, quote, subjective process, unquote. Engoron canceled several of Trump's business certificates and ordered the dissolution of Trump's related LLCs and also sanctioned several of Trump's attorneys, $7,500, for making arguments the court had repeatedly tossed out. Trump's attorneys said on September 26th that, quote, while the full impact of the decision remains unclear, what is clear is that President Trump will seek all available appellate remedies to rectify this miscarriage of justice, unquote. Read more about the story in Forbes. Nancy Solomon reports in Gothamist that New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand joined the growing call for fellow Democratic New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez to resign after he was indicted last week. Gillibrand said, quote, the American people deserve a government they can trust, that they're not questioning whether their elected leaders are working for the people or for themselves. And in light of that lack of trust, I share Senator Booker's views that he should step down, unquote. Federal prosecutors allege Menendez took hundreds of thousands of dollars in lavish gifts in exchange for helping Egypt with weapons deals and aid. Several other Democrats in the Senate have also called for Menendez to resign, but New York's other senator, Chuck Schumer, has not joined that chorus so far. Read more about the story in Gothamist. Andrea Macko reports in Porcupine Soup about efforts to bring back a St. Patrick's Day parade to East Durham. The East Durham St. Patrick's Day Parade Committee has scheduled an event for Sunday, March 17th, with Neil Kelliger as Grand Marshal. Committee Chair Michael O'Connor said it has been since 1993 since there was a parade in the Irish-tinged town. Quote, I really don't know why, unquote, he said. Quote, the best answer anyone could give me was Greenville has one, unquote. Anyone who wants to be in the parade or help with organizing should email edparade@gmail.com. Read more about the story in Porcupine Soup, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, September 27th. Local early morning temperatures range from 36 degrees in Steventown to 46 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 63 degrees. Air quality has slipped back into the good range, and the smoke has moved eastward. Today will be pretty nice, mostly sunny, with a high of 70 at 3 p.m. Overnight, temperatures drop to 45 degrees. Then, tomorrow, also nice, with a high of 71. 51 degrees overnight takes us into a Friday that will have cloudy skies that will threaten rain, but I don't see anything serious happening. It will have a high of only 67. Saturday and Sunday are looking dry with highs in the mid-70s. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 1:27 a.m., low tide at 8:15 a.m., high tide at 2:02 p.m., and low tide, once again, at 8:32 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 65 degrees and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 6:32 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:44 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 15%. Plasma winds will be average at 460 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. There are low chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 179, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Hi, everybody. This is Timmy Whippoorwill calling to you live from inside the oak tree. Please give what you can to wgxc.org/donate. Check it out. Their webpage is live. It's fresh. It's exciting and new. Even us here in the Whippoorwill community approve of such a place. WGXC is here for you, so why don't you be there for them?
2022 new music from Paramore there. This is Why is the name of the song.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
All the president has to do is say, you know what? As one of my fundamental jobs as the president of the United States is to secure a border. Secure that border, and we'll be able to keep it all open and keep it all worked out.
Facing a government shutdown Saturday, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is blaming President Joe Biden's immigration policies, saying any short-term spending must include more border security. Meanwhile, the Senate's going ahead with a separate bipartisan stopgap. Biden made an unprecedented visit to a United Auto Workers picket line near Detroit, telling workers through a bullhorn to stick with it.
You deserve what you've earned, and you've earned a hell of a lot more than you're getting paid now.
Biden says auto companies should do more to meet union demands for better wages and benefits after workers made concessions during the 2008 financial crisis. Former President Donald Trump plans to skip tonight's Republican debate to meet with workers at a non-union auto parts supplier. A New York judge has found Trump committed fraud by drastically exaggerating the value of real estate he used as collateral for loans. The ruling is the first in a sprawling civil case which could bring hundreds of millions in fines and stop Trump from doing business in what was his home state. The U.S. Supreme Court is confirming several previous rulings demanding the redrawing of Alabama's congressional map. The justices rejected a bid by state officials to halt a lower court decision that the GOP-drawn map diminished the power of black voters. Robert Clopton with the NAACP in Mobile says a new map should have a second black majority district.
Everyone's excited. We're optimistic. And it gives definitely gives us an opportunity for that majority-minority congressional district.
Less than half of young people report being contacted by political parties prior to last year's midterm election. Santiago Mayor with Voters of Tomorrow says both parties are losing the votes of youth who are just looking for normality.
They want to just be able to go to school. They want a world that works for them. They want a humane immigration and justice system. Candidates need to lean on that.
Nearly a third of young people who didn't vote in 2022 say they either didn't know where to vote or have enough information about candidates. The doomsday clock, which tracks the world's proximity to nuclear war, was just set at 90 seconds to midnight, its closest since it was created in 1947. Ryan Black with the Diffuse Nuclear War Campaign was demonstrating with allies yesterday.
We want to amplify calls for de-escalation in Ukraine and around the world, and we want more people in the streets making noise for peace. Electeds aren't going to act until they hear us loud and clear.
And California Governor Gavin Newsom has signed legislation to nearly double taxes on guns and ammunition to pay for gun violence prevention programs and better security at public schools. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 21st, a federal appeals court refused to rehear a challenge to Florida's restrictive voting law, SB 90, letting an April 2023 appeals decision stand. Florida voters who use mail-in voting should be paying attention. After Donald Trump's loss in 2020, Florida and other conservative states implemented wide-ranging voting restrictions under the guise of election integrity. SB 90 bans voter assistance used by African-American voting advocacy groups like offering chairs, water, and snacks to voters in line, and requires disclaimers for voter registration assistance. SB 90 also requires mail-in voters to apply every election cycle, a burden on the elderly and disabled, eliminates unattended drop boxes, and requires a Florida driver's license, state ID, or Social Security number to even apply for a mail-in ballot. In 2022, much of the law was struck down, citing Florida's record of intentional barriers to voting. But in April 2023, the decision was reversed by a three-judge panel, the majority finding that the legislature's laws weren't discriminatory. Democracy groups asked for a rehearing, which the court denied last week, 2-1. Florida voters must now reapply for their mail ballots prior to March 7, 2024 to participate in the March 19th presidential primary. The voter registration deadline is 29 days before that date. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Move south. Don't stop the motion. If you get the notion, you can't stop the groove, cause you just won't move. Got my sunroof down, got my diamond in the back. Put on your shaggy ring of woman if you thought I ain't coming back. Oh, shame, shame, shame. Shame on you, girl. If you can't dance too, I said shame, 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 shame. Shame on you. If you can't dance too. If you don't want to go, remember one monkey don't stop no show. If you get the notion, you can't stop the move, cause you just won't move. Got my sunroof down, got my diamond in the back. Put on your shaggy wig, woman, if you don't, I ain't coming back. Shame, 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 shame. Shame on you, if you can't dance too. Shame, 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 shame.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined today by Tina Kim, who is the Deputy Controller of State Government Accountability for the New York State Controller's Office. And they recently issued a report titled Monitoring of Air Quality. So, Tina, can you maybe just give us a brief explanation? Why did the State Controller's Office decide to look at this? And what was the general things you were looking at?
So, Mark, I think that you know that one of the emphasis in the Controller's Office is environmental issues. And we thought that the air quality permit and registration program was critically important for us to look at. Overall, what we found is improvements could be made in the monitoring and oversight of the program. And I can go to all the findings one by one, or basically we can talk about them.
Well, one of the concerns that was raised in the report was apparently permits issued before 2013 sort of continue, and not all the things are being required to be monitored. And also, many of the facilities have permits that are required to be renewed, but in fact, that process is being quite delayed. Can you maybe explain why this is a particular issue or concern?
I think the two findings break down into two separate areas. In 2013, the regulations actually changed. Title V facilities have always required permitting. And in 2013, the requirement was put into place that air state facilities, which basically are lower emitters, also actually had to be permitted. And basically, air facilities registered also had to be registered. But facilities prior to that were not required to basically either be permitted or registered. And that is something that actually has continued to this day. So of the roughly 8,000 to 9,000 facilities within New York State, roughly half of them have permits or registrations that have not, that have no expiration date. And, you know, part of that is basically then those facilities' emissions are not being properly monitored because they are not currently registered or permitted. And then there is actually a second issue that relates to basically how the SAPA process actually works. And that is for basically Title V facilities and for ASFs, which is air state facilities. When you are applying for basically a permit, if you put your application in 180 days prior to the expiration, your permit will not expire and is, it is by law, is in good standing until basically, again, a determination has been made. And for many of the facilities that we actually looked at, many of the facilities that were in that process, they continued in that state for between 4 and 9 years. And again, you know, one of the things, while you are technically allowed to do that, one of our concerns is basically, if not for that process, those permits would have expired many years prior.
Now, your report does recommend, I guess, DEC develop a plan on how to address this very large number of expired permits and registration, particularly the long delays in process and permit extensions. Other than, you know, asking DEC to, you know, try to figure out how to solve this, are there any particular steps that the controller's office was suggesting in that area?
So one of the things that DEC told us, and I think actually the data supports this, is that, you know, for many years, they have been short-staffed. If you look at over the last decade, the amount of staff within the unit that actually does this work has significantly decreased. And, you know, during the budget process this year, DEC received additional staffing, which, according to their response, they are going to in part dedicate to basically this very critical process. And one of the things that we will do is we will come back a year from now and actually take a look and see if basically potentially that addition of additional staffing has made a difference in terms of improving, you know, not just basically the timeliness of when they look at permits, you know, that have been extended through the SAPA provision, but also permits that basically, you know, and registrations that were, that never basically, you know, had an expiration date, because that is what they're actually citing as basically, you know, being the causation of a lot of the issues we identified.
Now, I notice in the material that your office sent over ahead of time that state that the worst air pollution offenders in the state that exceed federal emission thresholds are mainly garbage incinerators, landfills, manufacturing facilities, and hospitals. 17 of these types are in Albany. And then the next worst are medium-sized commercial industrial facilities or large facilities that have agreed to limit emissions. A related issue, many of these facilities end up in environmental justice communities. What were some of the environmental justice, you know, concerns that this audit uncovered or addressed?
So, Mark, I think you know that the current provisions went into place in 2003. And when we looked at a sample of 71 permits that actually fell within environmental justice areas, what we found was that 55 of them were actually exempt for a variety of reasons, but primarily because they went into place prior to 2003. But another thing that we actually identified was 13 of those facilities in 2003, when basically, you know, the EJ provisions went in, they were not in an environmental justice area. But they are currently in an environmental justice area. And during the period between the EJ maps are actually drawn using census data. And I think we all know that the census data is updated on a regular cycle. But between 2003 and 2021, that data and those maps were not adjusted. So during that period, potentially basically EJ permitted areas that would have had to go through basically the public participation plan may not have gone through the plan because the maps were not updated. So there was a 10-year period where basically the data that was the basis of whether basically a project or a permit actually needed to go through that process was not updated. And again, those maps were updated in 2021.
Two-part question. So why should New Yorkers be concerned about what this report found? And any other key recommendations? And if people want more information or to see the report, how best can they do that?
Because these facilities contribute to basically pollution in New York State, which can have numerous negative ramifications based on human health and on the environment. And basically, it is DEC's responsibility to ensure that the various facilities in the state follow the process that's actually in place. And our concern is, potentially because of a staffing issue, that some of that is actually not being done. And part of basically our recommendation is that basically we're asking the department, and the department, to their credit, actually has agreed with the majority of our recommendation to improve oversight and ensure that basically there is increased monitoring and basically resources actually placed on this very critical program.
So we've been talking with Tina Kim, Deputy Controller of State Government Accountability for State Controller, new report out, monitoring of air quality. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
My little lamb.
Cass McCombs sitting in there with the band Airwaves on the Alien song from the 2022 album The Dance on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Calling all radio enthusiasts. Have you ever wanted to be on the radio or learn how to edit audio? Got a great idea for a short segment to play during our drive time shows? Start making radio with us at WGXE 90.7 FM as part of the WGXE Community Contributors Program. No prior experience needed. For more information, contact content at wgxe.org. That is content at wgxe.org.
I heard about your love. So you're alone today. Inside of peace of mind. No water running. Water run and dream.
Slavic nose campfire. I don't want to I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Electric vehicles are widely promoted as a climate solution, but they can also be a public health solution, because unlike gas-powered cars, electric vehicles do not emit harmful tailpipe pollution. Erica Garcia of the University of Southern California was part of a team that studied the health benefits of transitioning to electric vehicles. The researchers looked at the rate of electric vehicle adoption across California by zip code and compared that to hospital records.
We found that within zip codes over time, greater increases in the number of zero-emission vehicles was associated with lower rates of asthma emergency department visits.
Garcia's colleague and co-author, Sandy Eckel, says the impact was noticeable even though, during the study period, there were not many EVs on the road. Californians were just starting to make the switch.
We're still quite early in the transition, and we only use data in our analyses from 2013 to 2019 because we wanted to avoid the pandemic years. And so we were surprised that we were able to actually start to link it with these health and potentially air pollution co-benefits.
So the results had evidence that going electric not only benefits the climate, it can also help improve people's health. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To hear more stories like this, visit climateconnections.org.
first 2022 new music from the Dust Bowl Fairies. This is called The Changeling on WGXC 90.7 FM.
She's falling apart. She's losing it. She's full of dread. She's on the run. She's full of dread. She's losing it. She's falling apart.
Here's 2022 new music from Angel Olsen and Sturgill Simpson. The The song is called Big Time on the radio at 90.7 FM, WGXC.
Good morning, kisses, giving you all mine. Pull back the curtain, show me the sunshine. Needing this coffee, needing some nature. Need it right now, it can't wait until later. We're always busy, baby, not this time. We'll be right back.
travel boy, you get hand down a cigarette. Get on leaving if you like. Something doesn't settle right.